may know the music of French Romantic era composer Camille Saint-Saëns. Ah, the Swan, from arguably his most famous piece, The Carnival of the Animals, made famous by the Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova. And you've probably heard this one, too, though you may not have known it was Saint-Saëns. That's the introduction and Rondo Capriccioso, which Saint-Saëns composed in 1863 when he was in his late 20s and maybe in love. You see where we're going here? Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and our classic music opinionator, Fran Hoffner, says Saint-Saëns helped her fall in love with the violin. Hi, Fran.
Hello. I'm here to talk about my crush.
Your girl crush on the violin, but you're a percussionist.
I am. So it's really easy for me to just be jealous of the violin because I get so many more notes. The life of a symphony percussionist is like one note and then waiting and waiting and then another note, and violins get all the good stuff.
And still, even though you only have that one note every now and then, we hear the conductor say in rehearsal, "Let's do it again for the percussionists."
A brutal time, yeah. The last thing you want to hear.
You get a bad rap everywhere. Well, but so why the violin? What made you fall for it?
It was this piece in particular that I feel like just showed me a different side of what a violin could do. You know, Saint-Saëns brought a certain level of danger, I think, to the instrument, which is otherwise can often be quite sweet or quite cloying. And this piece in particular is just such a showcase.
Yeah. It's like something circling something, you know, and it starts off quietly and then bam, let's listen. And what was Saint-Saëns doing here?
So he composed this piece for something of a celebrity violinist at the time, Pablo de Sarasate, who sort of commissioned Saint-Saëns to write it for him. He said he wanted something as fresh and young as spring itself, which I feel like is a flirt.
Well, we'll get to that.
A request like that.
Yeah, we'll get to more of that. But again, a Saint-Saëns introduction and Rondo Capriccioso. With more surprises, like, let's listen to this transition.
Yeah. I mean, a rondo is a dance, so it is like this dance between the violin and the rest of the orchestra.
Yeah. And you say he, in this way, Saint-Saëns was reinventing the violin. How?
Sort of pulling it out of its context, like a context of a section, per se, and then having it sort of dueling with the rest of the orchestra. It sort of took the hero of the symphony orchestra and put it at odds with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And it makes for just really exciting listening.
The bow becomes almost a sword. It's like sword play.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, let's listen to a fight. Love it. Love it. So tell us about this. I mean, it does sound like a fight.
Yeah. There is sort of this big conflict I hear, not only between the violin and the orchestra, a lot of timpani in this piece, I will say, but also having these double stops kind of suggests the violence fighting with itself, trying to say two things at the same time.
Now explain, a double stop.
A double stop is when the bow, rather than landing on one string of the violin, lands on two. So it's like playing a chord on one instrument.
Mm-hmm. And what does that say to you?
To me, that sort of is like, it's almost like saying two things at once. Like, chords can often be harmonic and peaceful, and here I think they sound really combative.
Yeah. Let's listen to a little more. Can feel combative when the bow is kind of slapping, hitting the strings, more than one string. But it can also be very soothing when there's, you know, double stops, chords. Let's listen. So, Fran Hoffner, we find ourselves wondering what Saint-Saëns was fighting with and what he was maybe yearning for, as we hear there. We know he lived with his mother until he surprised everyone by getting married at the age of 40 to a 19-year-old. It's generally...
The classic age difference.
There you go. And it's generally thought today that he was actually gay and maybe had a thing for the violinist de Sarasate.
It's certainly possible. I think they had a more than friendly sort of creative, collaborative relationship. And even though he, you know, got married later in life, that marriage didn't last particularly long. I think it lasted about 3 years. And he actually wound up leaving his wife. They were on vacation together. Mm. He woke up one morning and wrote her a note that said along the lines of, "I'm never coming back," and didn't come back.
Oh, there's
sort of the flip side of Valentine's Day.
Yes, I was going to say, you're off the theme.
Well, I'm just giving people strategies if they need to get out of something.
Write a note.
You can always write a note.
Well, but he also wrote this music and hated, apparently, the new music in Paris as he got older. This is in the early 1900s. He thought Stravinsky was insane. He spoke out against the impressionistic new music of Debussy. Tell us more.
Well, it's just interesting to me that he didn't like that kind of music, because I feel like a lot of his compositions feel very revolutionary and very new. And I wonder to what extent he really didn't like Stravinsky, or if he felt jealous of what Stravinsky was doing. I think when we sort of like look back now, a lot of Saint-Saëns' work feels maybe a little bit more traditional. Something like Carnival of the Animals feels very classic to us because it's just been in the zeitgeist. But at the time it was coming out, and Rondo and Capriccioso is the same way, like, it's very revolutionary and very new.
Well, but when he died in 1921, he was seen as old-fashioned. Given some of the things you're saying, has there been a new look at Saint-Saëns?
I would hope so. I think, to me, he does feel like one of the more old-fashioned composers, and it takes sort of a couple listens to really see all of the little tricks he's pulling off. I hope people listen closely to his work. There's so much depth. There's nothing really very traditional about it.
Well, and we would be remiss if we did not play the big timpani roll at the end of Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso, which we've been listening to more closely with Fran Hoffner, music opinionator for WQXR in New York and percussionist. Are you ready, Fran?
I'm ready. I can't wait.
What was it like? Did you have to sit there through the entire piece for this?
This is quite a timpani-heavy piece, but one does sort of highly anticipate a big role like this.
Okay, let's listen. Yeah. There it is.
There it is. It might not sound big to an outsider, but to me, very special.
Yeah. So that's the big ending to Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Saint-Saëns. But also you come to a conclusion at the end of your piece about it, which is what?
You know, that no matter how triumphant you feel doing a big timpani role like that, it's always going to be about the violin. They're always the star. I can't escape it.
Maybe something to carry into Valentine's Day. It's not about you.
Oh,
it's the
yeah.
other partner in whatever music you are making. Fran Hoffner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's here now.